Okay, we talked last week about the new plans that are being put together for our upper level Bible classes, for our junior high, senior high, and our adult classes, and how we are leaving the 13-week quarter system, and we're not going to be following that every new class every 13 weeks kind of system that's almost universal, it seems, and we've been following for a number of years. But we're changing up how we schedule our classes to try to get more in line with the stepping into the Bible classes where our children are. They're in classes for 20 weeks, and then they have what they call a two-week mini session. They're all over in the family room during those 2 weeks. And what we want to do is get the whole congregation on that system. And so starting next Sunday, we will begin one of those 20-week, we're calling them semesters. Don't get them confused with college semesters because they have nothing to do with those. But we'll begin a 20-week semester next week. And really the only thing that matters to us is not necessarily the 20 weeks, but there'll be 10-week studies. We're going to have a 10-week study followed by another 10-week series. And then after those two 10 weeks, we'll all be back in here together for 2 weeks and have some time where all of us, junior high, senior high, and all of the adults can have a series of four classes together on Sundays and Wednesdays. So that's what we're starting next week. And we hope that this will enhance our Bible class program. We hope that it will encourage even more members to be a part of it. We are adding more classes that you will have the option to choose from on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Somebody asked after class last week, you know, once you start going to a particular class, whether it's here on this side of the auditorium next week, or whether it's an adult one or adult two or adult three, do you have to keep going to that class, or can you switch back and forth? You can go to any class you want any week. Once you start a class, you're not locked in. Isn't that great? Isn't there a thing in college where you have a certain dropout period? That you take a course for so long and then you can drop out of the class without penalty after a certain point. You can drop out of these classes anytime you want as long as you just pick another class. Don't drop out entirely and stop coming to Bible class. But if you start going to a class and you think, you know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, then pick another class. That's the beauty of having choices. You don't have to continue in the same class that you started with at the beginning of that session. But what we want to talk about this morning is how can we have phenomenal Bible classes? How would you answer that question? How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? A lot of participation. At least one person is participating this morning. How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? Be here. That's a good start. How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? Say again. Prepared teachers. That helps, doesn't it? How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? Say again. Prepared students. Is that what you said, Diana? Prepared students. How can we have junior high, senior high, adults? How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? Show up on time. Doesn't that help? You know, that's not one of my points this morning, but we could have a whole class on that, couldn't we? It is amazing how beneficial it is to the entire class, to the learning atmosphere, to the entire process, for everybody to be there at the start of class. I know that has certain challenges for certain people. There are some families in this church that have 3, 4 children that are under, I'm not talking about those of you that have adult children, have 3 or 4 adult children who have moved out. That's no longer your excuse. But those who have these young children trying to get them ready and get here, those who are single parents trying to get your children ready and get here, those are challenges for sure. My guess is that most of us get to work and get to school on time most of the time. And so, good point. Ivan. We'll just leave it there. But we can spend a lot of time there. How can we have phenomenal Bible classes?
Energizing subject matter.
Energizing subject matter. Okay, so we're not going to be studying molecular biology when we come together. That's not energizing to me. Might be to some of you. Gary?
Everybody pray about it.
When was the last time you spent time praying for the church, praying about coming together for Bible classes, praying for each other? Was there another hand over here? Cornelius, or is it just Gary's hand? Somebody else? How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? Bill?
Everyone bring their own Bible.
Bring your Bible. It's interesting how often you enter into a junior high or senior high Bible class. And I think we probably do this more at camp than we even do here, but we've done it here. We have Bible classes at Central Florida Bible Camp. During the day, we have Bible classes. And you know what they rarely bring to Bible class? They'll show up at Bible class at camp, and what do they forget? Their Bible. There used to be penalties for doing that. Now it's just a joke, apparently. But there used to be penalties if a Bible was found in the cabin. While we are in Bible class at camp, they go and do cabin checks to make sure they're all cleaned up and nice and pretty and the kids haven't trashed the cabins. But there used to be a penalty at camp if they found a Bible still in the cabin. Now we just say, oh, we found a Bible in the cabin, and everybody has a good laugh about it. So bringing your own Bible to Bible class. Anybody got anything else? How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? All right, I've got two, Vita, what do you got? Be of the same mindset. That helps, doesn't it? Come together, and how often does the Bible talk about being of one heart, one mind? That's definitely a big benefit. Tasha?
Teach the Bible.
Hello. How about we teach the Bible? Will that help us to have phenomenal Bible classes? We're going to incorporate a lot of what you've mentioned. I've got two points this morning. Two things that we need to have in order to have phenomenal Bible classes. First thing is, we need to have phenomenal teachers. Now, what does that mean? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 17. That's where we're going to be this morning. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to learn about having phenomenal teachers. And then we're going to look at the second point about how we can have phenomenal students. But go to Acts chapter 17. How can we have phenomenal Bible classes? When you turn to Acts chapter 17, here's something to try to get into the habit of. When a teacher says turn to a certain passage, not only is it helpful to know where that passage is and to be able to flip over there, but as you turn to a passage, try to think, what do I know about this passage? What's going on before, as you're turning, what's going on in this passage even before I get there? The book in Acts chapter 17, okay, what book is this in? This is in the New Testament, all right? I automatically know something because it's in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts, okay? I automatically know this isn't about the life of Jesus. This isn't something about the second coming. This is about the life of the church and the building of the church and what was happening as the church was expanding. I go to Acts 17, I think, okay, this is going to have something to do with the Apostle Paul, because when you get to Acts chapter 13, through the rest of the book, it's about the journeys of Paul. So in Acts 17, it's going to have something to do with the Apostle Paul. And as you zero in contextually in your mind, what's happening? Here is the Apostle Paul. He's going to be on his second missionary journey when you get to Acts chapter 17. When he's on this journey, in Acts chapter 16, in verses 9 and 10, we sing about this when we sing the song, Send the Light. In the second verse of Send the Light, we read about Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. We sing in that song, we have heard the Macedonian call today. What's that all about? That's about Acts chapter 16. That's about the the Macedonian call that Paul received. Now, Paul received this message of a man in Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. So immediately from Troas, Paul made passage to get to that area. What happens in Acts 16? The gospel comes to the continent of Europe for the very first time. So when I'm turning to Acts 17, it would help for me to start putting things into context. Okay, Paul is on his second missionary journey. Paul is on the continent of Europe. He's just come there, just spent time in the city of Philippi, where the gospel was preached in Europe and converts were made for the very first time. So now I get to Acts chapter 17. What's happening? Paul is now going to the city of Thessalonica. They passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And here's what I want us to see about having phenomenal teachers. And this is not so much, having phenomenal teachers is not so much to say, well, you know, you've got to be this kind of teacher in order to be phenomenal, or to make some teachers think, well, I'm not very phenomenal at teaching. Not about how phenomenal you are at teaching. It is how phenomenal are you as a teacher. What does this mean? I want us to see four things that makes a phenomenal teacher in Acts chapter 17. Verse 2 says, then Paul, as his custom was. Paul had a certain pattern. He had a certain habit about him. Whenever he came to a new city, what was he going to do? Was he going to scout out the good neighborhoods? Was he going to find the good school districts? What was Paul going to do when he came to a new city? What was he looking for? What verse 1 say? He's looking for the synagogue. Why is he looking for the synagogue? Because he's got a custom. The custom is when he comes to a new city, he's going to teach. Does that need to be us? This idea of being a phenomenal teacher doesn't mean you're the one who's standing up in front of a Bible class. Do we all have a responsibility to be teachers? Yes. We all have a responsibility to be teachers of the Word of God. Now, here's Paul. Here's what his custom is. His custom, and here's what we see. He went into them. I don't know how significant that is. I wonder if that does not indicate that as a teacher, Paul was personal. He's the Apostle Paul. He is gaining in his notoriety. He's gaining in his popularity. People are learning who he is. If you don't believe that, back up into his first missionary journey and see how they tried to stone him to death. They're learning who this guy is. Couldn't he have just sent messengers into the synagogue? Here, take this message and go and share it in the synagogue. Couldn't he have done that? Couldn't he have sent somebody else to go and deliver it? Or maybe he could have written a letter and said, here, go and read this. Bring it back, because when I get to the next city, I want them to read that same letter in the synagogue there. No? When Paul went about teaching, he made it personal. He went in to them. If we're going to have phenomenal teachers today, we need individuals who are personal about their teaching. Not just individuals who are separated from what's happening in the classroom, but people who are involved in the class. And this is true up and down this children's hallway too. Don't we need teachers who are personal when they go in the classroom, who are there and interacting with our children? Don't we need that down this hallway too, where we all have a relationship with each other? Go in the class, we are there together. Now, when he went into them, how often did he do it? The rest of verse 2, right after that, where it says he went into them, how often did he go in? 3 Sabbaths. So it wasn't just a one-time shot. He did not just go in one time. He went in repeatedly. You know, sometimes when you step into a junior high or senior high classroom to teach them, sometimes you just want to teach them once. Because after you teach them the first week, you think, no, this is a special calling for somebody. and I'm not answering the phone. Because it can be a little bit of a challenge to teach these lovable kids. It can be a little bit of a challenge. Now, I will share with you that our current group is not nearly as challenging as some of the groups that have preceded them. Okay? And I'm going all the way back, Chuck, Milton, and Vince. I saw Vince was looking right at me like, don't mention my name. We've had some fun groups go through the Bible classes over the years. This is not a Bill Ingram Jr., Chuck Milton group, okay? They don't come up to that level at all. But it's still a challenge. What do we need? We need teachers who are personal. We need teachers who are loyal, who are dependable, who even teachers who are on time. Not because you made the point, not because you're a late teacher. In case you came in late, Ivan made the point, what makes a phenomenal Bible class is for people to be on time. I wasn't picking on Ivan, only to point out that he's the one who made that point. So teachers need to be on time. Bill?
You're 10 minutes late.
Yeah, that was one of his favorite sayings, as I understand it, for teachers and for those who are have some role. And those of you men even who serve on Sunday mornings, I remember over on 36th Street when Mike Erickson was in charge of the sound booth over on 36th Street. He had that sign up on 36th Street. If you're running the sound system, if you're 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. And that's what W. Ray Duncan used to say. And if you're a teacher, you need to be there early. And if you have a leadership role, you need to be there early. Be prepared to step into that responsibility you have. So phenomenal teachers are teachers who are personal in the class, who are loyal. If you've agreed to teach for 10 weeks, then teach for 10 weeks. But what else do we learn about these teachers? As his custom was, he went into them for three Sabbaths. And what did he do when he was there? He did what? He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. What makes someone a phenomenal teacher? They are scriptural in their teaching. It does not matter how many great stories you have found. It doesn't matter how many illustrations you have. It doesn't matter anything else if you do not teach the Scripture. We talked about what do we need to bring to Bible class. You need to bring a Bible to Bible class. Well, what does the teacher need to teach in Bible class? He needs to teach the Bible. She needs to teach the Bible. That's what makes phenomenal Bible classes. What makes phenomenal Bible classes is having phenomenal material. Where do you find phenomenal material for Bible classes? That's the only place. If you spend more time looking for material outside the Bible, it's not going to be a phenomenal Bible class. It might be entertaining. It might be exciting. It might have some memorable things about it. People might walk out of there energized, but what did they learn? What did they learn that's going to produce faith? Where does faith come from? Hearing the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. Fran? Well, to say that Jesus was a phenomenal teacher is almost an understatement. You know, here's the master teacher. Did the master teacher use Scripture? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Here's something interesting. When you look in Luke chapter 4, what did we just learn about Paul in Acts chapter 17? We just learned about Paul in Acts chapter 17 that he had a custom. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue and he spent time reasoning with them. Now look in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was. I wonder where Paul got this idea. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to, what's your last word there? He stood up to read. He went into the synagogue for the same reason that Paul went into the synagogue, to teach. What was Jesus going to do in order to teach? The last word of verse 16 tells us he was going to read. He was handed the book of Isaiah, and when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and he began reading to them from the book of Isaiah. Was Jesus scriptural in his teaching? Yes. After the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, the individuals who heard him preaching were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having, you know the word there? Authority, and not as the scribes. When Jesus came into their midst and was teaching them, he taught them as one having authority. He would teach the Scripture, he would read the Scripture, and he would teach with authority, obviously, because he was the Son of God. And I'm going to come to Fran's point in just a second. What does that indicate about how we need to teach? What is it that needs to be our material? Paul reasoned with them from the Scriptures. What does it mean to reason with someone? I know some people are unreasonable. I'm not talking about trying to reason with the unreasonable. What does it mean to try to reason with someone? Try to get them to understand it. Now, how did Paul try to get them to understand it? What are the two ing words after? By the way, look at the word Scriptures there. Reason with them from the Scriptures. Now, how did he do that? What are the two ing words you have after the word Scriptures? Explaining and, depends on what translation you have for these ing words. Explaining and, New King James says, demonstrating. What was he doing? Paul was taking Scriptures. He was reading Scriptures. And in order to reason with... Now, what was he trying to explain and demonstrate? What does the rest of verse 3 say? What was he explaining and demonstrating? What was his point? That Jesus is the Christ. How would you go about explaining and demonstrating that Jesus is the Christ? He would read from the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. Then he would present the life of Jesus. He would read those Old Testament prophecies. He would present the life of Jesus in comparison with those Old Testament prophecies. And then, here's the explanation. Here's what the prophecies say. Here's the demonstration in the life of Jesus. What is our conclusion? Jesus is the Christ. Why? Because that's what the Scripture said, because that's what his life demonstrates. That's the only logical conclusion we can come to. Take the Scriptures, reason from them, demonstrate how those Scriptures were fulfilled in the life of Jesus. That's the kind of teachers we need. Teachers who get into the Word of God and are not afraid to teach the Word of God. Sometimes we think we've got to be entertaining when we walk into that classroom. What we need is we need to be full of Scripture to present. Now, here's the point that Fran was making. Jesus was very practical in his teaching as well. Did Jesus ever teach about a fish? Did he ever teach about a farmer and farming? Did Jesus ever teach about fishing? Did he ever take real to life lessons and make application of them? Yeah. He taught Scripture, and then he took the Scripture and he made it practical. He made it something that they could apply. Now look in verse 4 of Acts chapter 17. Is that not what Paul did as well. Is that not what phenomenal teachers do? They are scriptural in their teaching, but then they are also practical. How do we know that? What does verse 4 say? And some of them were persuaded. What were they persuaded to do? Some of them were persuaded, and not a few of the leading women, a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. They were persuaded. What were they persuaded by? How were they persuaded? He took the scripture, he explained it, he demonstrated it, and then he said, here's what it means to you. You need to believe this. You need to obey this. And in verse 4, they were persuaded by the application. It's one thing to teach scripture and say, here's what the scripture says. It's another thing to take scripture and say, here's what scripture says. Now here's what you need to do about it. Here's what you need to do with it. Dirk? Right. Right.
Because they have the spiritual application. From the scriptures, they have become the scriptures.
Right.
Right.
The very fact that we know that Jesus taught in parables, how do we know that? Because it's in Scripture. If we were to teach the parable of the soils, what would we be teaching? Scripture. Isn't that interesting? How it has all come, as Dirk points out, it's all come full circle. Now, why was Jesus teaching in parables?
So that they could understand.
Tell me another reason that Jesus was teaching in parables. So that they wouldn't understand. Read Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was teaching in parables so that the people would understand. Jesus was teaching in parables so that the people would not understand. What? That doesn't make sense. What? How can you do something so that people understand and people don't understand? Okay. So what'd you say, Annel? People's hearts were different. When you read Matthew chapter 13, there were individuals who wanted to understand. If you want to understand, will an earthly story with a heavenly meaning help you to understand what Jesus wants you to do? Will it help you to understand the nature of the church and what the church is like? Yes. But if I don't care to understand, if I'm not interested in what Jesus has to say, is it going to make sense to me that he's telling stories about seeds? What's wrong with this guy? Why is he telling me about a mustard seed? That doesn't make any sense. What's wrong with this guy? Why is he telling me about tares? Who cares about tares? It's interesting that that's still the same today, isn't it? Can we understand the Scripture if we want to understand the Scripture? Yes. It's been given to us in a form where we can understand. But if I don't want to understand the Scripture, am I going to be able to understand it? No. If I don't have a love for the truth and a desire to know the truth, am I going to know it? Am I going to understand it? No. Not going to happen, and there's a multitude of passages that teach that. So we got 12 minutes left. That's great. Okay, so how do we have phenomenal Bible classes? I only meant to spend like 10 minutes on this first point. There it goes. We need to have phenomenal teachers, all right? But teachers, it's not all on you. We've got to have phenomenal students. Now, go to verse 11, and we'll have to go through this, obviously, more rapidly. All right? Acts chapter 17. You come down to verse 10, and Paul comes to the city of Berea. And they are described in verse 11 as Paul finding individuals who are more noble-minded than those that he had found in the previous city that we just looked at, in the city of Thessalonica. He found individuals who are more noble-minded. What kind of students are these individuals in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? These are the kind of students that we need to be. These are the kind of Bible students we need to be at home. These are the kind of Bible students we need to be when we're teaching other people. These are the kind of Bible students we need to be when we're sitting in a Bible class. When he found these individuals, they were more noble-minded than those who were at Thessalonica. Why? Number one, they were phenomenal students because they were students who welcomed the Word. They welcomed the Word. Is that the kind of students we are? Are we the kind of students who welcome the Word? What does this say? More noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the Word. Are there some people who are not interested in receiving the Word? Yeah. Are there some people even that come to a Bible class who may not be interested in receiving the Word? What does it take to have a phenomenal Bible class? You've got to have phenomenal students. Who is it who is a phenomenal student? Phenomenal student is someone who welcomes the Word, who loves Scripture, who looks at the Word of God, and when it is presented to them, they want to hear it. When it is presented to them, they are interested in hearing what it says. Some people are not interested. Some people don't want to hear. Perhaps there are some people who are bored by the Bible. That doesn't need to be us. To be phenomenal students, we need to welcome the Word. But how did they welcome the Word? They received the Word with all readiness. What does that mean? They received the Word with all readiness. They were eager to learn it. This idea of all readiness is a Greek word, prothumia. The word pro means here's something that's in the forefront. Here's something that I'm going forward with. Thumia is that of the mind, that of the passion. First and foremost, they were passionate about what? Receiving the Word. With all readiness, they wanted it. When we come to Bible class, is that the kind of student that we are? Are we craving this book? How many times have we studied Acts chapter 17? Is this old hat? We turn to this. Are we still craving this? Do we still want this? Do we still dig into this no matter how many times we've read Acts chapter 17? That's the kind of students we need to be. Kind of students who are eager and passionate about not just welcoming the Word. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad he's teaching that. But craving it, wanting it for myself. They receive the Word of God with all readiness. What kind of students are those who are phenomenal students? What did these students do? They searched the Scriptures. Do you know how easy it is for you to search the Scriptures? Well, for years, all we've had to do is just turn a page. And we could search the Scripture. For years, we could go to the back and use that wonderful concordance that's provided for us at the back of our Bible that has every verse that you'll ever want to find right there in the concordance of the back of your Bible, right? No, they have every verse you're not looking for. The verses you are looking for are never in that concordance in the back of your Bible. But you can go and get a Cruden's concordance or a Strong's concordance. You can search the Scriptures. Many of you right now are on your handheld device. You have moved away from the page that you have to turn, and now you can just punch it up. How easy is it for us to search the Scripture? Was it that easy for them? Hello. They don't even have their own copy of the Scripture. How easy is it for them to search the Scripture? The idea of search here, The Greek word that's used for search here is anakrino, anakrinos. What does that mean? The preposition ana means up. Krino means to judge. The idea here is that they started at the bottom and they just worked their way up. And they were searching, they were investigating, they were digging in, they were sifting through the Scriptures up and down, up and down. They had to know what the Scripture said. Are we that kind of student? If we want phenomenal Bible classes, we can't just be students that just come in and sit. We can't just be the students who come in and say, wow, I wonder what we're going to talk about today. We can't be the students, wow, I forgot my Bible out in the car. Oh, well, he'll just read it to me and I'll meditate on it as he reads it. We need to be individuals who welcome the Word as it's being taught. We crave it. We receive it with all readiness as being taught. We search the Scriptures. Now I'm going to make a verb out of an adjective. They every day'd the Word. Do we do that? Do we every day the Word? They welcome the Word. They receive the Word, crave the Word, search the Word. But how often did they search the Word? In Acts 17 and verse 11. They search the Word daily. Do we do that? Do we every day the Word? Could you survive a few days without studying your Bible? Most of us probably have. These individuals apparently could not. Did they just need it more than we do? Maybe they weren't as smart. Maybe they didn't get it as quick as we do. And it just took them a little bit longer to understand it. So they needed it every day, but we're a little more advanced than they are. Is that it? Obviously, that's not it. You know, if these were... How does the Bible describe them in Acts 17 and verse 11? Noble-minded. Not just noble-minded, but more noble-minded than the individuals who were in Thessalonica. And some of the individuals in Thessalonica were persuaded by the evidence. These were more noble. What made these noble-minded students? What made these phenomenal students? When the Word of God was being taught, they welcomed it, they craved it, they searched it, they everydayed it, and then they trusted it. They searched the Scriptures daily, comma. What do you have after the word daily in your Bible? What do you have? They search the Scriptures daily. What do you have right after that? What are the next two words you have after that? To see or to find? It's interesting that in most of your Bibles that's in italics provided by the translators. What were they interested in doing? What was their motivation? To see, to find whether these things were so. When Paul was speaking, who did they trust? The Apostle Paul was preaching to them. Who did they trust? The Scriptures. Now, if the Apostle Paul came here, we'd just say, hey, give it to me, brother. I'll take whatever you got to say. And, you know, I won't question it at all. They searched the Scriptures every day to see, is what this guy is saying, is it really so? Do you think that these individuals who'd ever heard somebody preach something that wasn't so? Have you ever heard somebody preach something that wasn't so? Well, how did you know it wasn't so? There's only one way you know it's not so. You got to get to where it is. And that's what they did. They wanted to know, is what he is saying really true? That's what makes somebody a phenomenal student. Recognize this book as the only source of authority, is the only source for living. And then finally, what did they do? Phenomenal students, once they've heard the Word, they do what the Word says. What does verse 12 tell us? They believed. Therefore, many of them. What did we learn in verse 4 about Thessalonians? Some of them in Thessalonica, but now here in Berea, where there's more noble-minded individuals who welcome the Word, crave the Word, search the Word every day, the Word, and trust the Word, that many of them believed. And also, not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. These individuals, once they had heard, once they had determined that what was being preached to them was the truth, and that it was so, they received that word and they obeyed that word. Is that the kind of students that we are? If we want phenomenal Bible classes, it is not all on the shoulders of the teacher to make sure we have phenomenal Bible classes. It's even more so on the students. Because Bible classes last for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. We need to take what happens in Bible class to the rest of our week, to the rest of our day, to the rest of our lives. That's what will help us to make sure that we have phenomenal Bible classes. We don't have time to look at all of this, but I wanted to share this with you one more time. Starting next Sunday, week from today, we will begin a 10-week study on Sundays and Wednesdays. There will be classes in adult 1, 2, and 3, and then there will be a class in this section of the auditorium. And only in this section of the auditorium. There will not be a Bible class in any other section of the auditorium but this one over here. And so we want everybody to sit over here. If we could, well, I don't know if what we could do, but if we could figure out a way to get everybody to sit over here, that's where we need to have a meaningful, closer-knit Bible class. And so starting next Sunday, these are the classes that are going to be taught. These are in your bulletin. Make sure you get a copy of the bulletin this week. Should have got it by email. If you get email, there's copies of it out in the lobby where you have this full schedule. Make sure you're here. Decide what classes you want to try out. But let's do what we can as students to make sure we have some phenomenal Bible classes in this church. Thank you so much for your good attention this morning.